Good evening. You know I'm not Brother Chris, but I appreciate the opportunity. And I want to say that Brother Chris is enjoying some time with his mother and father right now, so I'm really pray that he'll be blessed and enjoy his time, and I really appreciate him giving me the opportunity. And he texted me earlier and said, "Thank you, Brother Mike," and I said, "No, thank you for the opportunity to share with you tonight." On a difficult topic tonight, but I can see some hope in this topic. And if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is one of the great I am statements. There are seven of those in the Gospel of John. And I cannot quote all of those to you right now. I could probably get about five out of seven right. But I can quote this one, you know, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." One of the greatest verses of all time. I want to talk about John chapter 11. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment," which you'll see in chapter 12. And it says, "and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." That's perplexing, isn't it? He loved them, but yet he abode there. Well, most people, writers of that time, say that they feel like he was already dead when the messenger arrived. But Jesus stayed 2 more days. "Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." He's making it clear. He is dead. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Then Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" That's a question to us. Do we believe in Jesus? We shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but it was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then were with her in the house and comforted her. When they saw Mary,
that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And so Jesus prayed out loud so that they would understand what's going on. He had already prayed to the Father, but he wanted them to hear that the Father answers him. And he said, And I knew thou heard me always, but because of the people I said it, that they may believe thou hast sent me. And when thus he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Some folks don't like loud preaching, but apparently Jesus does. He said it in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he was dead, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. A lot of folks are all about wrapping. I'm about unwrapping. Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perisheth not. This spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only. Thank God we're included. But that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. I know that's a lot of scripture, but I think the scripture is the most important thing that can be said in the pulpit. As we're looking here, telling my message tonight is Lazarus Lives Again. If you turn on the news, and I'm sure many of you, I've tried to turn the news off lately. It really gets discouraging. But you turn the news on in the morning or the afternoon, you'll quickly hear of murders in Memphis, and that leads to death. You'll hear of traffic accidents, more death, weather catastrophes like the one in Texas, many died. COVID cases and deaths, it's easy to become discouraged and to question God's goodness. But I want to say that death is universal. It's indiscriminate. It takes young or old. It takes poor or rich. It takes sick or healthy. It takes wicked or benevolent. And I want to tell you, the factor is one out of every one dies. That's just the case of death. One out of every one. Did you know that approximately every day 17 vets commit suicide? Every day. I recently attended a funeral last week. You know, I'm usually not affected by somebody I don't know, and I'm glad I don't know everybody, because it would hurt me if I knew them personally, how that something tragic happens to them, it would affect me. I was a firefighter for many years, and I went out on calls late at night and pulled bodies out of cars and dealing with bodies from fires and all of these things, but I didn't know these people. But last week, my wife was upset about a little boy that she had taught for 2 or 3 years, and he was 13 years old, and he took his life because he and his little brother had to stay at home in their apartment all the time while their mother worked. And he was isolated, and he was lonely. And so he decided to take something and overdose and take his life. I went with my wife to the funeral, and we were standing there outside, and they pulled that little boy's casket out, and they opened that lid, and we looked in there, and I began to weep. And I thought, man, why couldn't I have known this little boy? Why couldn't I have talked to him, fellowship with him? It was a painful thing. It was painful for my wife. I want to say, death is indiscriminate. It doesn't matter. Young or old, they die. What gives a mother faith, or a sister, or a brother, or a widow courage as they stand beside a fresh graveside? What about the ultimate hope of somebody who's handicapped or abused or a burn victim or whatever illness or calamity that they face? I want to tell you what it is. It's bodily resurrection. There is still hope. There is hope at the graveside. We ask the question, I know, why would God allow such suffering? Tonight's scripture may not provide all the answers we want, but we'll find out that God has a higher purpose than what you and I can comprehend. Now, if you know, if you've read the Bible, and you should, I hope you read through the Bible. It's very important. John was the only gospel writer to record Lazarus being raised from the dead. It's an event like this was only mentioned by one of the gospel writers. Maybe it was omitted by the other gospel writers. It is thought by many scholars that this is because when they were writing their gospels, Lazarus and his sisters were still alive. And it is recorded here in John chapter 12, especially, that after Jesus' resurrection, the Jews sought to kill Lazarus too. So possibly the other gospel writers did this to protect Lazarus and his sisters. And by the time John wrote this gospel, they were already passed away, and he felt free to include this in his gospel. You know, it says in John 21:25, if everything Jesus did was written down, the world itself could not contain all the story. And I want to say, it's not a preacher story. Brother Bo, you know what I'm talking about. This is a true story. Preachers, we can have the tendency to exaggerate sometimes. But it's about a lady that passed away, and for the next few months, a credit card company continued to bill her for their annual service charges on her credit card. Now, my wife had a little bit of dealing with this when her husband passed away. And they added late fees and interest on the monthly charge, and the balance had been zero, but with all their charges, it accumulated to $60. A family member placed a call to the creditor telling them that she had died, and the creditor said the account was never closed and the late fees and the charges still apply. The family member said, well, maybe you should turn it over to collections. And the credit card service rep said, since it's several months past due, it's already has been. The family member said, so what will they do when they find out she's dead? Customer service person said, either report her account to Frauds Division or report her to the credit bureau, maybe both. The family member said, did you just get what I was telling you, the part about her being dead? The credit card person finally said, our system just isn't set up for death. I don't know what more I can do to help. The family member said, would you like her new billing address? And they said, that might help. And the family member said, Odessa Memorial Cemetery, Highway 129, plot number 69. The credit card rep said, sir, that's a cemetery. The family member said, what do you think I've been trying to tell you? What do they do with dead people on your planet? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus does with dead people. He resurrects them from the dead. Every time I read in Scripture Jesus attended a funeral, he broke it up. He broke it up. We have a problem here. That's the number one point I want to start out with. We have a problem. It says in John chapter 11, now a certain man, Lazarus, was sick. Now I want to give you these ideas right here. You might want to jot these down. They were very sticking in my mind. God perceived what was going on. When you've got a problem in your life, folks, don't think God doesn't perceive what's. He's never surprised. God knew what was going on. God permitted what happened, and you'll find out as you look right here. Notice what it said: Lazarus was sick. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister said, he whom thou lovest is sick. Things happen to us in our life. And just because something tragic happens in your life, folks, understand that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Jesus loved him. But God perceived what was going on. God permitted what happened. But you know what he planned? It says that God planned to be glorified. He had a plan in the process. God has a plan in what's going on. We may not perceive it, but God perceives the plan. And what did Lazarus do wrong? The Bible helps us see that sickness and death do not indicate that God has rejected somebody or that they have done something wrong. We must remind ourselves that we are neither are our loved ones are exempt from things happening in our life that we cannot explain. These three disciples of Jesus were his close friends and associates. Jesus loved them, yet he did not rush to spare them from grief. The presence of pain and the suffering of the lives of disciples can teach us this. You may want to note this. This really stuck out in my mind. It's something that I would write down. In other words, Christians do not have different experiences in life. We experience the same things as our neighbors and people all around us. Rather, we experience the same things, but we experience life differently. Our hope in Jesus Christ does not insulate us from life's difficulties, but it does provide a way through them and beyond them, the difficulties, because we're going to have a different reaction. And God uses difficult experiences to make us more compassionate servants for him as we console others. I know my wife has... Her husband, he found out that he had bladder cancer, and he suffered for 3 years, I believe. And through all of that, she's had friends since then that have lost their husbands to cancer and different things, and she's been able to comfort them like nobody else could because she understood their experience. And Jesus loves Lazarus and his sisters. Jesus, I don't record anywhere where Jesus verbally said he loved them. Tell me. Now, I know John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we know Jesus loved him because it says right here, whom thou lovest. And then it says, on thou further, that he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You know how he loved them? By his actions. We got a lot of shallow talk these days about loving people. but we really don't show them we love them. There's a lot of feel-good seminars talk about that, but think about it. Jesus showed by his actions. You know what he did? There was a problem. I want you to see the next thing. There was a postponement. Notice what it says. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He remains there for 2 days. He delays. And the decision, he announces his plans to visit Bethany, and then there's a dialogue between he and the disciples. Their concern was, it's too dangerous to go there, Jesus. They want to kill you and take your life. And his commitment, however, is go there. He intends to wake Lazarus out of sleep. Their confusion is that they think Jesus is referring to natural physical sleep. And then he clarifies to them. He says, hey, Lazarus is dead. He has passed. But no biblical description is so comforting, consoling to the believer as that which is revealed in the word sleep. It's a word that applies to the body only and never to the soul. Our Lord said to his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. Of the martyrdom of Stephen, the death of Stephen, we read in Acts 7:60, he fell asleep. When the Apostle Paul was yet alive, he said that of the 500 brethren who had seen Christ alive after his resurrection, some have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians 15:6. His comforting message to the believers at Thessalonica was, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. The Apostle Peter, speaking of Old Testament saints, said the fathers fell asleep. 2 Peter 3:4. The Old Testament saints were comforted by the same truth. More than 40 times in the Old Testament said of a man who died that he slept with his fathers. And the Lord said unto to Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. And Job said, now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. We have a sublime description of death. It is the body that has gone, that is in the grave. It is now asleep. That person is with the Lord. You know, the Bible said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Years ago, professional golfer Paul Azinger was diagnosed with cancer at age 33. He had just won the PGA Championship, one of the four most important tournaments in golf. Azinger, who's a Christian, said a genuine feeling of fear came over him. He said, I could die from cancer. But then another reality hit him even harder. He said, I'm going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. I'm definitely going to die. It's just a question that Paul Azinger asked himself. If a man die, shall he live again? About that time, Larry Moody, who taught a Bible study on the Pro Tour, said to Zinger, we are not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We are in the land of the dying going to the land of the living. That encouraged him. I want you to see the problem that we see here. I want you to see the postponement of Jesus not coming, but I want you to see the promise. He says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's a good verse to carry with you when you are going to a funeral or are thinking about dying or somebody else dying. It's a good verse to have with you. I want us to see the personalities that were there. I want to say that there are definitely three personalities that we need in our church. Number one is the worker. Y'all remember about Martha coming to Jesus in this next chapter, and she's complaining, Lord, my sister won't help me. Betty, your sister ever complained about that? Anybody's sister? She won't help me. And she's doing one thing, but the sister's doing another. And Martha's serving, and Mary's worshiping. We need workers in the church, folks. We need workers. We need worshipers in the church. We need folks that worship. And we need witnesses in the church. Lazarus. We'll see here in just a little bit. We'll see about Lazarus. So we see those different personalities. We need workers. We need worshipers. And we need witnesses. And we can be all three. We can work in the church. We can worship in the church, and we can witness outside the church. That's what God's called us to do. We see the despair. Thomas agrees to go, but he prepares for the worst. He's always prepared for it. Let's go with the Lord. We'll die with him. Boy, that's really encouraging, isn't it? I'm going to go with you, Lord, and I'm going to die with you. We see the sorrow over Lazarus, the sorrow of the Jews. Many come from Jerusalem to pay their respects. Some, they're just paying their respects. The sorrow of Martha, she waits for him outside of Bethany. She's frustrated. Lord, if you'd been here, and her faith, she does have a little faith. She says, Lord, you're going to, I know in the last day he'll be alive. And she believes in the Old Testament promises regarding the resurrection. And Jesus accepts the statement, he is the resurrection. Martha's ministry for Jesus, she informs Mary of his presence and the sorrow of Mary, the sorrow of Jesus. You know, that's the shortest verse. He weeps. Jesus wept. But it's one of the most powerful things. Jesus didn't just have a tear run down his cheek, but he wept. It's okay to weep. It's okay to be sad. That God, it shows us Jesus' humanity, that he would cause him to become a man and submit himself to the sorrows of what's going on around him. Jesus wasn't weeping for Lazarus or himself. He knew what he was going to do. He was weeping for creation because of what sin had caused and brought upon us, and all the suffering that people would experience was never God's intention. It was never God's intention for us to go through suffering and death and all of these things. And they wonder as they're watching, and they said, Jesus could heal the blind. Could he not heal his friend from dying? But yet we're going to see the power of God. Notice with me. Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister, told him he'd been dead for 4 days. Now, in that time in history, they believed that the soul or spirit of a man hovered around the body for 3 days. So if that man was dead for four, he was dead. There's no way that the spirit could come back after 4 days. He was dead. The spirit was gone. And so we're getting a view of that as we hear that he was dead for 4 days. It would take a miracle to happen. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? They took away the stone, lifted up his eyes, and he prayed, and he had spoken. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He tells the men to remove that stone, and there are some obstacles that we need to remove that let men come to Christ. I think there are some things in the church sometimes that are blocking people from coming to Jesus. It's our religion and the things that we choose when it should be about Christ and his gospel. And so he says, remove the stone, remove the obstacles that keep people from coming to Jesus. We see the sister's reluctance. Martha's hesitant. And we're hesitant a lot of times to trust Jesus, aren't we? We really are. I say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm wrestling, Lord. I'm really struggling with this. But the Lord gives us a reminder. Didn't I tell you that you'll see God's glory if you'll believe? God's glory. The prayer of Jesus. He thanks the Father for what's about to happen. The power. Lazarus, come forth. Come out. You know why? Do you know what they said? They said if Jesus hadn't called out Lazarus, everybody would have come forth. I agree. I like that. He named him specifically to come forth. You know what? The resurrection of Lazarus represents the greatest miracle of all. Those dead in sin are made alive by Christ. And I want to say that this was a resuscitation of his original body, because I'll share some things about the resurrection body to you in just a little bit. But the obstruction of the grave clothes. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he was still bound. This illustrates salvation. When we're born again, we're raised to new lives in Christ, but we're bound by some old habits. And you know, that's why we need each other. I need you, and you need me, because we can be honest and point those things out. Folks, I'm not standing. I want to be honest with you. I have a lot of faults and failures. You know, somebody said, boy, that Billy Graham, he's almost perfect. I said, I bet you didn't live with him. You know, he's a godly man. I believe that, but I bet you he had his faults. Because only Jesus is the only perfect one. And so we wrestle. We got grave clothes. There are some old habits that have to come off our lives. And we pray and we assist each other. We confess those things to one another. The Bible speaks of us passing from death unto new life when we become born again. But it's also true in the physical and emotional realm. We bring with us our grave clothes from our old lives. And we need to be let loose. That's why I say unwrap. God, unwrap us. Get us closer to you. We talk about, it says in Ephesians 2:6, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible clearly identifies the resurrection of Christ as central to the Christian message, just as crucial as the atoning death. I'll tell you, there'd be no resurrection without a crucifixion. Jesus had to die so that you and I might live. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. And just as surely as Christ is raised, we who have put our faith in him shall be raised. What kind of body will we have then? This is what we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is in his resurrection body. What could he do? He could appear and disappear. He could pass through closed doors. He could be felt by others. He could eat food. He eventually rose into heaven. Think about all the possibilities that are coming our way because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3:20. I want to share a few things about what this scripture passage should mean to you tonight. It shows us that Jesus is human. He wept. He cares. He experienced what you and I experienced. The glimpse of the world to come. Jesus broke the power of death. It's not a picture, just a picture of his compassion, but his power over death. At death, mourning and weeping are appropriate. But our final victory is in Christ. There'll be no more weeping one day. If you don't believe me, read the book of Revelation. There'll be no more death and sin and sorrow. But what does he say? Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And that's the opportunity I want to give you tonight. As Bo, if you'd come forward, I want to say that the key to eternal life is Jesus Christ. As you stand with me tonight, as you meditate or think upon that, if you would stand, and you think about, he says, he that believes in me, that is the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. When you die, do you fully expect in your conscience to experience the Lord Jesus calling you by name? Because he has been raised, we too shall rise. That is the excitement of the resurrection. I want to give you an opportunity to come to Christ tonight. Oh,